Hey, Stevie Wiebe here. Thanks for checking out the audio format of the show. You're about to tune in to the Nathan Barnett episode. I learned about Nathan just through his YouTube videos and through Bryson George of his amazing dance videos. And my favorite part of his episode was when he was talking about his hometown and the bullies, getting bullied as a kid and how he overcame that. So I hope you enjoy and thanks for tuning in.
Welcome back to another episode of the Stevie Wiebe Show.
Special guest, ladies and gentlemen, this evening, please welcome physical comedian Nathan Barnett.
Hello.
Did I say, I said it right, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. Let's bring it over here. Did I say your first name right?
Yes.
Okay, Nathan.
Jason, right?
No, Nathan Barnett.
Oh, it's a hard, harder J.
Yeah. Thanks for coming, man. We were watching some of your before you came in. We were watching your dance videos.
Oh, thank you.
Very impressive.
Thank you. Well, thank you very much.
How long you been dancing, man?
Well, dancing. I first of all, I don't consider myself a dancer.
Yeah.
And I say it all the time. People go, "No, you're a dancer."
No,
because there's
dance.
Views and a lot of videos doesn't mean you're really cut out to do it. I just keep doing it.
Yeah.
I just like to dance.
I can tell you're having fun.
I'm having fun. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the whole, I only do them for fun. And over the years, the people who have watched a lot of them tend to say, you gotta learn some new moves. This is getting old. This is getting lame. But I'm not doing it for anyone else besides myself. I find a song that I really like. And I just kind of feel compelled to go make a dance video for these songs.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, there's some that are come out that I've just, like, hired to be in because now that's become a thing where, I'll be in music videos because people have seen the other ones.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not a dancer. I just like to dance. It's a fun side thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just I just like dancing. But I never learned
what,
or anything.
What has inspired you as far as dance-wise, as far as your style and everything?
I don't know. I'm rubbery-ish, I guess, in
physical
comedy.
Kind of wavy.
Yeah, that comes out, I think, in the dancing, as well as, like, in the characters and other things that I do. It's like I'm just kind of loose and fluidy, I guess, if that's a word.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's just kind of, like, in everything
that's what's
I do.
Up. Hey, man, keep doing
well, thank
it.
You.
I love it. So where are you from, man? I just want to get into your history, man. Like, where are you from? And
you know, this is the first sparkling water I've had that has a flavor that I've actually enjoyed.
Hey, cheers,
I only,
man.
I 100%
So Arrowhead Mountain Spring Water, please sponsor the Stevie Wiebe Show.
Really good.
Yeah. You know what's better than this flavor is the strawberry.
Oh, really?
But they're sold out at Ralph's.
Oh, dang, man.
So, yeah.
Ralph's,
so Arrowhead, we could
catch up, man.
Use a sponsorship here.
Dude,
for the podcast.
That would be a great sponsorship because I specifically only drink plain sparkling water. I started drinking, I didn't even drink sparkling water until like three years ago. Any kind, as long as it's plain, bubbles, plain water, no flavor.
Mm-hmm.
I've learned when I drink a sparkling water with a flavor, it tastes just like, oh, someone spilled another drink in my water, and it's like a remnants flavor.
Right.
It's never hard. It needs to be all flavor or no flavor, in my opinion.
But you like this.
So when you skim this, I was like, I'm going to be nice and just drink it because, you know, he offered me a drink.
Yeah, but you like.
And I was like, I like
you're,
it.
But you're, convi-
I genuinely
you're convincing.
Like it now.
Cause you were convincing because when I asked you, there wasn't a hesitation.
No, because I
like
sparkling
absolutely,
water.
Absolutely, I want one.
And in my mind, sparkling water means just bubble water. And I always forget about the flavors. I never, ever drink flavors. I don't think about them. And then you get to them, I was like, oh, yeah, okay, oh, well, just drink it. But
well,
now
you know,
I'm so happy. And
well,
I'm like, I feel like
them.
I'm going to be drinking
yeah,
this
them.
While you're talking
you
to me.
You can get an 8-pack at Target for, I think,
you know,
$2.99 or $3.99. They got them at Ralph.
Pack? That's
the 8-pack.
Cheap.
I know. I know.
I was going to tell you about
Because I love soda.
Major,
the reason why I get these is because
better than soda.
Cause I love ginger beer and root beers and all that, but that has sugar in it. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to drink something that has a, like, kind of, like, that kind of resembles that.
Yeah, yeah. You just want the bubbles.
Yeah, the
bubbly,
it's
like there's
the
a
bubbles.
Fun thing happening
yeah,
in your mouth and it
bubbles.
Tastes good.
Yeah.
But it's really just, well, apparently it's not hydrating. I was going to say it's hydrating, but apparently people say it dehydrates. Well, no, that's with the salt.
No, I don't
Sparkling
care.
Sparkling water with, like, the salt in it, I guess,
yeah,
technically.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, how is that possible? It's still water.
Yeah,
Does
yeah.
Does salt make it negative
no,
water?
No, this says no calories, sugar, sweeteners, or colors.
So this one's perfect.
Yeah.
This is a win-win situation
so,
right now.
You're from the, George was mentioning, are you from the East Coast?
Yeah, I'm from Massachusetts.
Oh,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow, what's what was it like growing up over there?
Cold.
Yeah.
And, you know, like everyone always says their hometowns is like boring, but it
yeah.
was pretty boring for the most
Did
part.
Did you play hockey out there?
I skateboarded. I know
yeah.
you skateboarded.
Yeah,
I skated
yeah.
like my whole...
Because I saw your shoes.
Yeah,
show
I got some Ollie Burn
Yeah,
here.
I didn't want to bring it up, but I was like, okay. I told you earlier, I'm like, he probably didn't get that from dancing.
No.
And back in the day...
dancing like this.
Yeah, back in the 90s, we could tell just by their shoes.
You know,
like if they have the Ollie mark.
Totally.
And
I still do it to this day. I walk around, I look at people's shoes, and I always think, even if they're not looking for if they skate or not, I try to like figure out people based on what type of shoes they wear. Because in high school, it was all about like what music you listen to and what shoes you wore.
Yeah,
if
yeah,
you wore
yeah,
Vans
yeah.
or Airwalks or something like that, it's like, oh, you're cool, you
oh,
skate.
Oh, dude,
you
you're from
it.
More my era then.
I graduated high school in 99. So I was born in 81.
Yeah.
But I was wearing Airwalks and
yeah,
had
Airwalks
like a Vision skateboard way back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I love the Airwalks.
Yeah.
Those were awesome.
Those were like the high tops?
They had all kinds. They had like the ones that were the most popular had like, it was two white lines going down right here.
Yeah.
And there was the A in the circle.
Yeah.
I think, I don't know if Christian Slater wore, he had high top Airwalks.
That was Gleaming the Cube.
Gleaming the Cube, he had the big A on the side like a Converse style.
Explain to the viewers what Gleaming the Cube was.
I was just talking about Gleaming the Cube yesterday, actually, so it's we're talking about it right now. Gleaming the Cube is one of the best
movies, 80s
skateboard movies, because it's really just a good movie that happened. The character happens to be a skateboarder.
Mm-hmm.
It's about him trying to find like the killer of his brother.
Mm-hmm.
It's Christian Slater. He's a great actor in the '80s. Obviously, great actor
I
now.
Love True Romance too. That was a great.
You know, I haven't seen that one.
You haven't seen that movie,
no.
dude.
I know.
You
there's
got
a,
it,
there's
dude.
There's a lot of movies I haven't seen that I can embarrass myself.
You
got to
see that one. There's
I haven't seen
epic
Casino,
scenes of Christopher
Goodfellas
Walken. And yeah, you got to watch it.
Okay,
yeah,
I'm
going
to
yeah,
watch
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
I just like Christian Slater.
Try to watch
lot,
it tonight.
So.
I'm telling you,
okay.
it's that good.
Okay, cool. I will.
Who else is it?
Put it on my
Gary
list.
Oldman?
Yeah, wasn't that
yeah, Gary Oldman plays this drug dealer too with dreads.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like he's a pretty menacing character in it.
Nice.
So, for those of you who haven't watched
Hope
True Romance,
hope someone's wearing Airwalks in this movie.
It's a 90s movie, right, George?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, watch that. But
very
continue.
Cool.
So, you're from Massachusetts.
Yeah, Massachusetts. I skated with my
mm-hmm.
friends.
It's cold out there.
It's cold. And
so,
I remember,
how did you skate?
It was crazy because I remember on Christmas, if I got like a new deck, I would go and like shovel a space in the road
yes.
or a parking lot to go skate in and just do kickflips and stuff.
Wow.
And then I'd be like, on Christmas Day one day, I was like, oh, it's actually pretty warm. I could wear a t-shirt while I go skate
yeah,
on this
yeah.
new board.
What got you into skating? What got you into it?
I don't
it?
Know. I skateboarded when I was little. My dad had these 70s boards. They were all metal.
The ones
you could like run a car, could drive it over, and
dang.
It would bend and
yeah,
not like break.
Yeah, the old school.
Before the
banana board?
It was a banana-ish board, but it was made out of metal, like linoleum or whatever.
Damn.
And it would have just like
that's
triangles
cool.
of grip tape on
yeah,
just to, like
yeah.
for extra little grip.
Mm-hmm.
But it was before grip tape was really a thing.
Mm-hmm.
So we would ride those when we were little. In the 80s, the late 80s, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got a Santa Monica Airlines board. It was my first skateboard.
Oh, SMA.
Yeah.
yeah
and I didn't
yeah.
know what even Santa Monica was or where it was at the time because I was
right.
in like eighth grade or something.
Yeah. So, because I'm from the era that you're talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah.
Back then, I don't think kids like knew this, but
mm-hmm.
in my hometown, usually they sold, there was the bicycle shops,
mm-hmm.
and then a little section in the shop had skateboards.
Yeah, yeah.
So did you get yours like that?
We went to a place called 8 Ball, which was
yeah.
in Bellingham, Massachusetts. It was a skate park / shop. Like there's a shop on the side of the park or whatever. And I'd go there and get skateboards. And then it was getting more popular around that time. Skateboarding was getting big again.
Damn,
and
I
it
had
was
no
Eastern
idea.
Border
yeah.
was a popular place in Massachusetts and in New England. I'm trying to think of other skate places, but Eastern Border is like that was like the skateboard snowboard store.
Yeah,
I think
yeah.
they had some rollerblade stuff too.
Yeah, but, I'm like, dude, that's so cool. I respect that as far as East Coaster, because it's because out here people are kind of spoiled because of weather. But
and then when you get older, you go to Boston with your friends, you skate Copley and stuff. And the ball places and the skate videos you see, you
like
know,
Eastern,
you go there.
All the Eastern Exposure videos and stuff.
I don't know if I know Eastern Exposure.
Yeah, yeah. I like it all, man. Like,
we just watched
Each
Teams.
You never said that he skateboarded.
Yeah. It's not like a everyone knows about me. I do have a skate video on my channel.
No, I have all this other stuff like Upright Citizens Brigade.
Oh, yeah,
you're
part
of in your videos and your writing and everything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, okay, so.
Well, my main focus and my main goal, I guess, in life is just acting, but I love skateboarding.
Oh, yeah,
so,
yeah.
And I still
How'd you get into the acting and comedy, the sketch comedy and all that stuff?
I shot videos at a pretty young age with my brother and friends. We had a sketch comedy show called The Sweet Ride. We would air on cable access.
Yeah, they have that on your Wikipedia, I think.
Yeah, I'm trying to prevent the audience from hearing that one.
You're good.
We would, in high school, I don't know if I'm holding the mic too low. Hopefully I'm not.
High school. Is he okay? Can you hear it?
You've been hearing me all right?
Okay.
I tend to like drop my hand. In high school, we shot a sketch cut. We'd borrow these giant like cameras from the cable studio.
Wow.
I had video tech class in high school, but then also you could borrow the cameras after school for like extracurricular.
This is at Midway
for
High.
Medway High. In Massachusetts.
I wrote it down, George.
Medway.
So where is that located?
It's in Massachusetts, maybe 45 minutes from Boston.
Yeah.
Kind of close to Rhode Island, actually.
Okay. What was the demographic that? I mean, was it a cool school to go to? Or?
It was pretty cool.
Yeah,
It was not very diverse at all.
Guys
kids.
That look like me?
Maybe one. My friend Andre was like the one black kid in school.
Yeah, no Asians.
I don't think so. I'm trying to remember. No, there was. No, Kim.
Latino,
there was a girl,
or?
Kim. I can't remember her last name. She was tall. She played volleyball. She was Asian. Ish, I think. She's probably watching this. She's like, I'm not Asian.
Yeah,
ignorant white kid who's never seen other people. Yeah. It was not very diverse. It was actually, I hated high school.
Yeah.
And I actually have this fear. It's going to sound weird, but I have a fear of like white men with like crew cut style haircuts, like jock
like
style.
Like the military
cut,
the Marine
police
cut.
Officer types, football player types.
Yeah.
I have, it's this lingering thing at age 37. I still like get nervous around those types of guys, because I got beat up pretty bad by the football team, hockey team. I was like the freak.
So you were the outsider.
Yeah, I don't want to say this because it might be like not politically correct, but I sympathize and understand struggles sometimes of minorities, even though I can't say it at all. I've had
no,
any
but
struggle
you're,
on
you're,
the level of other people.
But you got bullied.
Big time.
Oh.
Yeah.
Why did they pick on you?
Because I think I was like the one
weirder person. You're the weirder guy.
Yeah, and like... And like, I didn't play sports and I was different.
I skated.
But like, then I had other friends that skated. They didn't mess with them as much because I think I was the weirder of ones. I have a pretty great story, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like I should write this and make it a movie.
Yeah,
and
go ahead, man. This is your platform, man.
I never told anyone this story, actually.
Yeah, go ahead, man. Say it on the Stevie Weeby Show first time.
Well, so like, it was pretty bad in high school. I switched schools because I got beat up and harassed so bad.
Mm-hmm.
This one dude who was like, he was the richest kid in town. I won't say names.
But you don't have to say that.
They probably, in spite, don't watch anything. I know they're seeing me on TV, though.
Every time I do a commercial or
a part on a show, they're like,
I want to get into that, too, because I dabbled in the commercial world myself.
Oh, nice. Very cool.
Yeah.
I was actually just down the street yesterday auditioning
for a
commercial.
It's a tough racket.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get into that.
It sure is.
Let's get back to the story.
So the story I've never told. I got harassed really bad. I won't say everything, but like, I almost want to paint the picture. Like the bunch of the hockey team and people, like my house got egged. It was reaching a height, like where it's like,
that's
this
a different level
much.
Than toilet paper in your house. Huh?
Yeah,
because that's like, you know what I mean.
And it, like, I already had some like sort of self pity issues with my situation. And my mom and dad hadn't have much money. We rented like literally the smallest house in the town,
and it was
like a guest house behind like this other house.
Were you an only kid?
No, I had two brothers.
Okay, older or younger?
I was in the middle.
Oh, you're the
Josh
middle.
And Seth. My brother Seth's out here with me. He like writes all the TV stuff
cool,
we do,
cool,
and
cool,
he
cool.
he shoots his own things.
Mm-hmm,
my older brother Josh is a photographer. Back in Massachusetts, he's got like a family and stuff, and he comes out here when we do like bigger jobs and stuff, and he works on things with us. So, he was like pretty tough. We all had like long hair. I looked a lot like Kurt, and this is gonna sound like a humble brag, but I genuinely think I looked a lot like Kurt Cobain when I was a kid.
Cool.
Facial features and like everything.
Yeah.
I was like,
were you a Nirvana fan?
Big Nirvana fan.
Yeah.
I loved Beck. I'd like to emulate.
What's your favorite
Beck
album?
Probably either Stereo Pathetic Soul Manure or
Mutations.
Mutations is pretty good.
I like Mutations.
I like the weirder ones, the early. earlier ones. What's the one? Foot in the Grave is really good. It's his first album. It's like more of a folk
thing. You're saying all the obscure ones.
I'm like a deep Beck fan.
Most people say Odelay
is really great, but Mellow Gold, I think that was the one on it. That was like the first one. I was like, oh, because Loser I heard on the radio, because that's kind of heard everything back then.
He's pretty quite prolific, isn't he?
He is super prolific, yeah. And he's look up to him
that guy,
super talented.
It's just kind of
Beck's great. He's a scientist. That's what he always says. People are like, oh, crap. Well, he's still talented. Who cares? We'll let him have it.
Because
he makes great stuff.
He's a musical guy.
He is.
Brilliant.
It's always a little disappointing when you find out. Like Tom Cruise is like, but you're so cool. Whatever. Who cares? Do what you want. You're great.
So music had to do with your upbringing too. As far as escapism.
I loved music. I always listened to music.
So you have a local record store you went to?
We went to Strawberries. It's just like a regular CD store that was like a chain in New England or Massachusetts. And that's closed now. Mm-hmm. I think every place is closed now. Mm-hmm. Because I was like into music and just more of like myself and like uninhibited or whatever. Mm-hmm. I think that's why I got picked on. Mm-hmm. And two of the moments that like stood out that I remember the most, that I kind of like, what was the point of that? I had to think this whole payoff. I was like, oh, this is great payoff. And now I don't have to remember.
Let me refresh your memory. You're going to disclose a story.
The ending of this story, why it's like satisfying.
You got bullied.
Yeah, but what was the end of the story? I'm like, I lived it. How come I cannot remember this? Maybe I'll remember as I'm talking, but like my girlfriend got like shoved into a window by the same dude that was picking on me. And she was like a 14-year-old girl, and this kid was like a year or two older. She was a shooter too, and she was like with the cool people. So I don't know why, like, this because she was dating me. It was really bad. Closed-minded, ignorant, negative, angry white kids. And who played all the sports, were super cool.
Ice hockey, big.
Hockey, soccer. Yeah. This kid that he was played soccer. He was literally the richest kid in the town. I think he just had problems. And I try to think now, it's like he was a kid. His parents, the way you're brought up and whatever it is, set him on this path that he had to let out his aggression away. And I was the victim of it, unfortunately. So I try to like judge the kid now or the guy now, because maybe he's like a better person and feels bad about how he was. Who knows? I got picked on pretty bad. One point I was skating with my friend Jared, who was in with them because he played hockey, but he skated as well. So he was okay. We're going to this place called Papa Gino's, which was like a pizza place in New England. And we're going in and they're like, you can't come in, but Jared can.
Wait, did they own the restaurant?
No, they just wouldn't let me in the building. It was a half day of school. Everyone goes uptown. It was where all the stores were.
They don't own the pizza joint?
They sure don't, but they wouldn't let me in. And they were like bigger kids. This one guy, Bill was his name. He looked like a 45-year-old man in his 10th grade.
God.
He had like receded hairline already. I'm bald. But he was like in high school and he was like receding, got big pot belly. I always remembered him looking like a man, stereotypical man to me. And it always stood out to me. I was like, this guy looks so different. Anyway,
so
what happened?
You didn't get into the pizza?
They didn't let me in. So then I was like, whatever, I'm leaving, I don't care. And Jared's like, oh, I'll go with you. And then they went to the car, a bunch of them came out and saw me. This is the height of my getting picked on. They grabbed the baseball bat and started whacking me in the back with the baseball bat.
The Louisville?
Yeah, no, it was one of those like ones you put on like a mantle or whatever. It was like this long and this wide. It was like a wooden stick, but it wasn't a full baseball bat.
That's assault, dude.
Could break your arm,
That's assault.
Totally. But, so I didn't want to give him the benefit, so I just kept ignoring it and hit me as I was like trying to skate away, and he just kept whacking me, and I was like making it like, oh, what's going on, and it was hurting me, but I just didn't want him to have satisfaction.
That was like a scene in a movie.
Yeah, totally. Oh, that's what I was gonna say. This is like a movie, but I swear I had a payoff for this whole thing where I was like, yes, I screw them, I got them. And I don't remember what the ending was. What the heck was I gonna get to? So that happened, and then they egged my house. This was kind of cool. My dad, we were out trick or treating. I still trick or treat, do it to this day. Mm-hmm. Me and my brother do it out in Brentwood.
It's coming up.
It is. Mm-hmm. I'm pumped. I was gonna be one of the Warriors, maybe, but I've already done that before. I've had done really elaborate costumes in the past.
I could see you as a Warrior.
I did it when the first year I moved out here. I was 24.
Yeah.
And it was great. Yeah. And we actually with the base. I'm sorry, I shouldn't say I was a Warrior. I was a baseball Fury.
Oh, you're a Fury. Yeah.
I don't know what I'm going to do this year. One year, I actually won in Boston. I went to this like costume contest at Emerson College, and I won because I had best costume. I had a functioning, you know, the shower. It's Karate Kid. Mm-hmm. My shower went around my shoulders, so my shoulders were sticking out, and I had a rod that held it against like my abdomen.
I remember that. That's when Daniel went to the dance.
Yeah, it was like, similar to that, but his was like
he was trying to avoid the Cobra Kai.
Yeah.
And he went to the dance, mm-hmm. and then Mr. Miyagi was like, what, you know, what costume? And then he came as a shower curtain.
That was such a good idea for a costume. So I was like, oh, I should do mine.
Hold up, man. He hasn't gotten to his story.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Whatever. I think
let's
we need
a sponsor real quick.
Oh, okay. Oh. All right. Sorry about that. Sorry, Nathan, I got to do this.
Speaking of kids with troubles, here we go.
Speaking of, okay, so if you're a bully and you have anger management problems, we have a solution at betterhelp.com. Okay.
Or if you've been bullied too.
And if you've been bullied and you need therapy, so go to www.betterhelp.com/Stevie. It's convenient, affordable, private, and online. It's online counseling, okay? Anytime, anywhere.
This is a perfect sponsor for the story.
It's professional and it's affordable counseling. Get matched with the counselor who's right for you. You could find a great fit for your personal needs. 4 communication modes: text, chat, phone, and video. Start communicating in under 24 hours. Must be 18 plus. It's available worldwide. Not intended for those actively considering suicide. Available on desktop, mobile, web, Android, and iOS apps. You can send messages 24/7, 365. Schedule video and phone sessions, generally weekly, unless your therapist schedules more.
Do you recommend counseling, Steve?
I personally do counseling.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Well, that's cool.
So shout out to Dr. Choi there. He's my counselor. He's a Korean guy. So this is an easy way. I physically have to go to Skid Row. That's where my insurance. I have the Medi-Cal, and that's
my brother has that.
Yeah. So I highly recommend therapy if you've been bullied, or you are a bully. If you have anger management, if you've been, you know what I mean. If you have past trauma. It's always positive. I haven't heard one person ever say therapy has like been horrible to me.
I had a breakthrough during a therapy session.
I know, and that's starting to happen for me too. It's for me, what I like about therapy is, depending on your therapist, a good therapist, in my definition, won't tell you what to do. They'll assess, mm-hmm. and they'll say things that you won't be able to see.
Yeah.
And they might provide, like, hey, could it be this?
Totally.
And then they shine the light on that, and you'll be like, whoa, I never even considered that.
Yeah, yeah.
So you could get that kind of breakthrough at BetterHelp.com. Go to www.BetterHelp.com/Stevie, okay?
S-T-E-E-B-E-E.
S-T-E-E-B-E-E. Link in the description. Back to the bully that hit you with the bat.
Yeah, so they did that. Then they egged my house.
You're
on
ignoring,
Halloween.
But you're ignoring.
I was ignoring
skating
that.
And,
yeah. There was a whole big hearing at high school where, like, all these kids went that were bullying me and their parents, like the rich kid, and they brought their lawyers. They thought we were gonna sue them. We just wanted it to stop. And it's like, I remember being nervous and scared about this, but I did nothing wrong. My
you
brother
just wanted
Josh,
to get a slice of pizza.
I just wanted a freaking Pepsi. That's
yeah,
all.
Yeah.
So then they. It was like it escalated. My brother went over. Like they egged the house. This is kind of cool. My dad heard the egg. Like,
how'd you know it was them?
Well, my dad just. I was out trick or treating, and my dad heard the eggs hit the house. Yeah. He ran outside and saw these kids jump in a car and drive away. So my dad starts running down the street. It's like a main road. It was like a Route 109. So it's mm-hmm. It's a 2-lane fast moving road. He's running down the street chasing this car, which is like speeding away. It was perfect timing. The police drove by, saw my dad running down the street. And they're like, "What are you doing?" He goes, "That car egged my house." Pulled them over, all the kids, it was like the primes, all the major suspects that were picking on me. I want to come and pay to have, they had to wash the eggs off the house, pay for car washes. They egged my parents' friend's car, my mom and dad's cars. It was great. And
justice exists.
It does.
I like that.
And my dad just was
hey,
like,
hey, man,
my
that's karma, man. So don't, for those kids out there hitting people with bats and egging houses, it might catch up to you.
It very well. Karma comes back for sure.
I believe that.
So then at this point, it was like, all right, we need to like stop this. And they had the hearing, and everyone told their cases, and it didn't really end until.
There was a court hearing?
No, it was at the high school. It was just like the principal was there, the vice principal. And the vice principal was like a real jackass as
How
well.
How was it a school issue, though, if it was outside of. the campus.
Because a lot of that was happening at school. That was just outside the stuff. Bullying. Yeah, the, all the bullying and the picking on me and shoving my girlfriend to a window and stuff.
Jeez, man.
I mean to go into this long, dark.
No, it's okay. Hey, man, this
might
is
be a bad interview is, for people to watch.
No, this is why the platform exists.
I'm a happy guy. Hey, but the thing is,
Nathan, let me just tell you something. There might be a kid who watches the Stevie Weeby Show who's been bullied.
True, so it's probably beneficial.
You could shine some light on it, but continue. How'd you get
so the hearing thing ended? It didn't really do it, solve anything. The principal also told my dad that his kids were freaks, so that wasn't like my dad's like, you're a principal of a school. Like, my dad was so mad at this town, hated them. It was just straight up all ignorant, like closed minded white people. Mm-hmm. So, that I guess the thing was what I was the sort of the point I was getting to was why I have this fear. I did this job for the Miami Dolphins last year, where I was there as my geeky, weird, this character I do named Keith Apicary, who's in a lot of the dance videos.
He dances, right?
He dances. Okay, okay. He came from the series I did called Talking Classics, which is a documentary on the character. Sort of like King of Kong, the documentary. This is us on him, but it's a spoof, so it's like a mockumentary. And then he's evolved from there, and Keith is now in like music videos. He's in the Guinness Book of World Records. Yeah. Keith's been blowing up. So I did the thing for the Miami Dolphins where I was going to be dancing in the audience as just a regular fan dancing. Mm-hmm. But then I let out my moves and go crazy. Yeah. Everyone was like, whoa, whoa. And it was going to be like this viral thing, and it worked. And they brought me back. Then they had me on the field with all the cheerleaders and the football players on the field.
During a game.
And I've never even seen a football game in my entire life because I hate football players and I hate football. But I was like, this is the best. If I'm ever going to see any fragment of a football game, it may as well be on the field with
and
the players.
And you're dancing, getting paid.
Being paid with the most beautiful women in Florida.
Yeah.
So it was great. And everyone's high-fiving me. It was pretty cool.
I wish your bullies saw that.
I bet you they saw that because they were playing against the Patriots as well when I was there.
New England.
I hope the Patriots lose because I hate freaking Boston meatheads. So anyways.
And they probably seen some of the commercials you've
they definitely
into.
Seen stuff I've done.
That's that guy, man.
He's living his life and he's doing his own thing.
He's on
TV,
man.
Judging people. So that's what I hope. Well, who knows? Really, it's like it's in the back of my mind because it's like sweet little revenge,
it's
I don't want to be living that way.
Because you've done some things here.
Let's finish the dolphin story.
So there was a moment when I was backstage and I wasn't wearing a badge, but I had this guy that would handle it, would take me around with my manager. He would escort us everywhere.
Keith,
don't need no badge. Keith, look at this face, but this is my badge. So the guy sort of brought flashbacks to me. He was giving us a really hard time. He goes, what are you guys doing back here? And we're like, I'm dancing on the field. It's a halftime show thing. And he was like, you can't be here. And he was like, really aggressive, and he looked exactly like the football coach from Medway High School that I remember, who didn't really like me because I was like a weirdo or whatever. Oh, another thing that did is popped in my head. One time I was skating down the street on my skateboard and I had a wallet chain, and the football team drove by and hung out the car, and they grabbed my wallet chain and dragged me off my skateboard, and then I dragged on the street for maybe 3 feet or so, and I fell. I could have gotten my foot run over or whatever, I think, to the car. And I remember them doing that, and I didn't really think how serious this was at the point. I thought they were just trying to rip my wallet chain, but they could have ran me over. So that popped into my head just now as I'm talking about this football coach.
It was like Karate Kid. You were Daniel's song.
And I was like, here I am, I'm dancing on the football field, and you're paying your cable bill to watch me on TV right now. So that this one guy was giving us a really hard time. I was like, I had this rage almost for this dude who's giving me a hard time because he had the tucked in khakis with the, you know, the baseball hat, and he just looked like a real we used to call them white cappers back in the 90s.
Remember when we used to
Shirt tucker.
Freaking
George
shirt
has his
tucker.
Own problems with shirt tuckers. He's always pulling his shirt out of his pants. Yeah. Now I know why.
So what happened after that? Did you say no? I'm gonna
No, we're allowed to be here, and it finally went away. But then every time we'd walk by, he'd give us his dirty look. So I would just stare at him. And there was one point where he walked by when all the tutors were taking a picture with me. And then right when he walked by, they go, we can't wait to go on Ellen with you. And I was like, wait, what? That's a thing? But I was just so happy he heard it. So I look like this guy that everyone cares about in front of this guy. What I gathered from the situation was he didn't like the way I looked. I looked like a weirdo or a freak. You should dress normal, act normal, which is what all these people told me in high school. And then this leads me to another thing. There was a guy that came, a motivational speaker one time, came to school, our school, to like talk about like being yourself. And I was sitting in the front with my friends. And at this time I wore like a plaid shirt and I'd wear just the top button and I'd open the bottom, you know, the bottom. I don't know where I saw that. If it was like in Kids, the movie Kids or something.
I love that movie.
It's such a good movie. Yeah.
Have you heard of that? I didn't mean to interrupt, but
I could go on forever about how people.
But have you heard of a movie coming out called Mid-90s?
Yes. Jonah Hill directed it. Yeah. I'm pumped to see that.
I'm pumped too.
Yeah. Cause it looks pretty authentic too. Like the clothes, the locations.
Yeah, I
want to
see it because it's kind of like all these stories you're telling me. I'm like, oh, that movie has something like that in it.
Most of my life was just hanging around plazas where there was good curbs, good loading docks, handrails. Like we just hang out all day.
It looks like a modern day. It looks like a modern day Kids.
Totally, it does. But I doubt it's gonna get as dark as Kids, original Kids.
Yeah.
That was like pretty intense.
Yeah, there was like some very dark
real.
Elements, yeah.
I guess it was dark in a way, but it was also very real. I didn't do any of this stuff. I was never like messing around like that. I was a pretty PG kid my whole life. Still am pretty PG.
I felt like I was breaking the law when I was watching it. Like I should,
I shouldn't be watching this.
Yeah,
was weird, but it was a good movie for sure. Yeah, the stuff I did that was like bad was like, you know, we'd smash a TV off a loading dock or whatever.
Well, I'm glad you got your a little revenge on the bullies.
Yeah,
huh?
Thank you.
The motivational speaker, is there any
clip? Oh, the motivational speaker pointed me out
and George.
Said, he goes, "What's your name?" And I was like, "Nathan." And he goes, "I like you. I like your style." He's like, "You look different." He's like, "You're doing your own thing. That's cool." And he kind of like made me feel cool in front of everyone because I always got picked on as like the weirdo against like, you know, the popular kids or whatever.
Well,
the cliche
paying off
kids.
Now, Nathan.
It is paying off now.
Like you're doing your own thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Because do whatever like, you want.
I didn't even bring
don't
it up.
Dress like anybody
else. Dude, you pitched a show to Adult Swim.
Oh, yeah. No,
tell me about that process. Like, how did you get in?
I've done a lot with Adult Swim. I've become their like, sort of reoccurring commercial guy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm possibly doing one on October 6th. Guys, if you're watching, please
let's shoot this one. Yeah, how do they tune in?
This is I just do a lot of the commercials for them right now. I did a pilot for them as a Keith character. Just I do a lot with different networks.
Yeah.
Right now we're doing something for a comedy network, me and my brother and my friends. You got a comedy network you guys might have heard. I'm always afraid to like talk about things.
No.
But I think you can just say stuff. I just have never it's like when you're developing a show, you're like, "Oh, we can't talk about it," until it's like they greenlight it and it goes to air, but like why not?
Yeah.
And then I feel like
so
I've heard
other
people talk about
it. So how'd you come up with these ideas for Adult Swim? Like, was it you and your brother writing these ideas?
Me and my brother and my friend Paul, who directs a lot of the stuff, we'll just like have an idea and we'll go and we'll pitch it. Because now we have like, you know, a lot of connections to the networks and we'll just go and pitch constantly. Like, I've done 12 or 13 pilots/script deals now, which is like the network where it says, "All right, here's some money. Go write us a script and then we'll shoot the pilot." Or go straight to pilot if they like the idea and it'll just give you money to go
a
shoot
script
a pilot.
For a show?
Yeah, for a show. And I've done a lot now.
That's
and
cool,
I'm
man.
Starting to feel like Bob Odenkirk, the king of failed pilots. Yeah, but like eventually he made it big, so maybe I will too.
To the bully who hit him with the bat, look what he's doing now. He's pitching to Adult Swim.
I'm living my life.
Yeah. To ignore the negativity.
And that's another thing. Like YouTube is like the new high school. Where they just rip you apart on YouTube. You gotta ignore the
comments.
Give
some of the viewers out there that are getting bullied in high school. Give them a couple. Give them some advice right now. Like,
I guess I would say if you are being
some
bullied,
some courageous words or something. You know?
I would say because it is pretty depressing when you're going through it, and it's like. You actually start believing some of the things. It's like, "Oh, I'm not cool. I'm like lame." You genuinely start thinking these things, but it's like, no, who's cool? Like literally everyone's a loser and everyone's cool.
And the time will
We're
pass.
All the same.
And the time will pass.
And it goes. Because
you think
even,
when you're in it, "Oh my God, this life,
totally.
My life sucks. Oh my God, I'm in this town." But it's like, that's just a fragment of your life.
Yeah. As soon as you are able to leave, you can go and do your own thing. Like being a teenager is sort of like a prison in a way where you have to like you are stuck there to deal with this growing up and all these other people that are you're forced in situations with by being in a school with them. But as soon as you're done school, I remember I was like, "I can't wait to go to school. Can't wait to go to school." I always wanted to go to California. I was like, "I'm going to California.
I want
to
get to that
and
too."
I did it. And I got out and just went. I went.
So
I was
so tell me that process of when you're on the East Coast and then the day you're like, "You know what? I'm going to California." How did you get to that point?
I started auditioning for things in Boston because I knew you could go out for commercials.
Yeah.
So I was auditioning.
There's reps out there?
It wasn't reps, but they had casting agencies where you could go and they would call me in all the time for
casting.
Commercials. Yeah, pretty much. But like, and you could become SAG, you know, if you did enough commercials, you could get SAG. I never did.
You get the voucher?
You can.
Yeah.
But I never did that. I just did a lot of, I guess they were non-union, but they were also national commercials.
Wow.
And then some, lots of them were like regional, like New England area commercials. Mm-hmm. But I was doing a lot of them. I did Dunkin' Donuts commercial. I did all kinds of stuff.
How old were you back then?
I was 20. It was between 21 to 23.
And you're, what made you want to do that?
I always just wanted to be an actor.
Okay,
or a comedian.
Good. So you just start
when
going.
I filmed the stuff in high school. I filmed the sketches with my brothers.
So you just start showing up.
I found out who they were. My brother Josh, the photographer, so he took a bunch of pictures for me.
Headshots.
Gave him headshots.
Yeah.
And then I just went and started auditioning. And then I went to college for one semester. I was like, I guess I should go to school and like learn something. So I went to school for theater in UMass Boston. I barely got in by transferring from community college. I didn't go to any of my classes ever. I don't even know why I went, but I went to the theater class, and I got cast in the play. So it was like in the first semester, you'd either be a stagehand or you work or you're in the show.
This community college.
This is now at UMass Boston. I did a community college.
Oh, you went to UMass?
I went to UMass Boston. I went to one semester at community, transferred to UMass Boston after that one semester at UMass Boston. So I did like, I guess technically one full year, but over the course of like a year and a half. And, at the first semester, I was the lead in this play. I auditioned first day. I didn't know anyone. All these theater kids knew each other. So I went in and auditioned it was called Cinderella Waltz. It was like a funny version of Cinderella. Mm-hmm. And Cinderella falls in love with the village idiot. And I got cast as the village idiot. But then it's pretty cool because like, in the play, he becomes smarter throughout and he can't speak very well. But then at the end, he's very like intellectual and he's like the smartest one. He's been playing this character this whole time and he relates to people in the town that are morons. And then she falls in love with him and she runs with the village idiot and leaves the prince. So that was it. And then the second semester, like, okay, now you have to like work backstage and like pull ropes and open the curtain. I was like, I don't want to. So I dropped out. And I was also booking all these commercials. I was like, why am I paying to go to school when I'm booking jobs and they're paying me?
Oh, they're paying.
Yeah, I was like getting like actors' paychecks for being in commercials and residuals and stuff. So it was like, oh, cool. Or buyout checks, you know? So it was, I was like, this is great. And then after doing that, I was like, I just need to go to California and like do this for real. So then I moved. I worked at a cemetery. I was a gravedigger for 2 years.
You were a gravedigger?
Yeah. That's actually. I actually do this series on my YouTube channel right now. Where
shout out to Prince Paul because Gravediggers is one of my favorite albums.
Nice.
And
Prince
he was
Paul.
In the Gravediggers.
Was he a gravedigger?
Yeah, well, he produced a whole group.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's East Coast guy. Yeah.
Where's he from?
I think New York.
Okay.
Yeah, shout out to
Prince
Paul.
Very similar to
Yeah, so you worked in a cemetery,
dude? I was
a
gravedigger for 2 years.
Wasn't that scary, dude?
It was kind of dark and depressing at first. Everything I thought was, like, sad right now.
But any ghosts?
No ghosts, but I totally believe in ghosts. We had a ghost in my mom and dad's house. Did stuff all the time. It was... Yeah. Ghosts are legitimately for real. I know
they
are.
My house was haunted, too.
Really? Where'd you grow up?
Poway, San Diego, Poway.
What happened? Do you have any, like, experiences?
I was got possessed almost. I've talked about it. Yeah. Well, I heard the whisper. They were whispering. They held me down, and I heard...
Do you think it was what do they call it? Sleep paralysis?
Yeah, well, it was something.
Yeah.
The whole... All the members of my family had went through it.
Oh, really?
So it wasn't just me. Yeah, my brother got rid of him.
Interesting.
I've talked about this, but he got rid of him by jumping in the swimming pool. But I,
because ghosts can't swim. It's kind of like running from bees.
But
running from a ghost.
Got rid of them by yelling Jesus.
Really?
But I could only get the J and the E out. But go back to your. So your house was haunted on the East Coast.
Yeah, stuff always happened in there. And my mom and dad, my people, we'd all would be hearing like footsteps, and we're like, who just ran
upstairs?
No
one's
here.
Because there's a lot of history.
It's a really old house. It was from like the late 1800s or something like that. Yeah, it was old. All New England's like super old.
Yeah,
so.
There's a lot of ghosts out there.
Yeah, ghosts freaking everywhere. Yeah. This jam
so
packed with
ghosts. So you were raised in that house?
No, we moved around a lot. My parents moved around a ton. My dad was a carpenter in the 80s, so it was hard to like, he kept moving around to find work and stuff. So, and my mom was always just like a secretary at a different place every time we moved. Mm-hmm. So I moved around a bunch, but then the house that we ended in, my parents are still there now during high school. That was the one that was like haunted and nothing's really happened. It's a bummer. After we kind of like lived there for like a year or two, things just stopped. But it was like weird stuff. It's not like just like, oh, I heard a noise. Like you can't find your keys anywhere. And I'm like, right. I'm like, what did I do? We have a hook. We'd hang our keys on. Everyone hung their keys. When you walk in the door, you hang your keys up. It was like
just like
this. Every time. So I'm like, where are my keys? I'm like home alone with one time. Can't find my keys. I'm like looking through very slowly. Like, this is my mom's keys. I'm looking between all the keys. See if mine's mixed in or something.
No,
my
keychain. Ghosts can move your keys.
So this was just odd, but I couldn't find them. I'd run to my room, check my room, go back to the key thing, back to like, and then one time I came back downstairs and they were sitting in the middle of the kitchen floor.
Oh, yeah. The ghosts.
And I was like,
I
just walked over this. I would have seen them. No, there's no one else home.
No, the ghost did it.
Totally good ghost did it. Couple of times this happened, so it's like little weird things like that. But the big thing that happened was near Christmas. My brother was making Christmas cookies with my mom downstairs, and like I was upstairs in my room. But you can hear literally everything in every room. So it was like an old house in this very small house,
creaking house.
You can hear them speaking. You hear through the walls. You can hear the creak. You can't sneak around the house at all. Every time we go sneak down to look at Christmas presents, you heard every footstep on the stairs. So my dad was down in the cellar, and he's going down this the staircase. The staircases are like this. Like, you know, this goes, my kitchen goes down cellar. So you go up to the kitchen, go around, then you go up the staircase to upstairs. So the stairs are like this, you know, they're built on top of each other.
Yeah.
Trying to make sure you guys can hear me. So I'm up here in my room, the stairs, you know, and my door's open. I can hear my mom and Seth talking in the kitchen. Like, just, mom, I don't really hear what they're, I'm playing Sega Saturn. I was playing Double Switch, one of the greatest games on Sega Saturn, in my opinion. Corey Haim was in this game. Debbie Harry was in this game. Okay. It's like Night Trap in a way, yeah. But if you like those games. Anyways, I love video games. Mm-hmm. So I didn't hear the footsteps, but my mom and Seth were in the kitchen talking. And then all of a sudden they heard shoes run up the stairs. My mom goes, Nathan, take off your shoes. It's like, what'd she say? So I crawled over to my door, which was open. And I was like, what? Stuck my head out the doorway, which is now at the top of the stairs. It's like this tiny house. And she said, take off your shoes. I said, I'm not wearing my shoes. She's like, well, who ran up the stairs? I was like, I don't know. I'm playing video games. And she's like, what? And then my dad, who was right below the stairs are at the top of his head, because you go down the cellar stairs, you got to kind of duck, and you're going under the other stairs. He has a workbench right at the bottom of the stairs. And you walk down the top of the bottom of the stairs, and right there is where he was. He didn't hear these footsteps. But Seth and my mom both heard them as they're at the table. They both looked up, like, who ran up the stairs? That they didn't walk past them. You would see the person walk past them to get to the stairs. So they're like, what? It was weird. So that happened a couple times. My mom heard footsteps a couple times in the house, that time with both of them. Then there was a time my brother Josh was laying on his floor, and it was like a ceiling fan from like the 80s on the ceiling. He's laying there on the phone, looking up at the ceiling fan. The ceiling fan turns on and spins one way, stops, and spins backwards, which it doesn't physically move backwards. It doesn't go that way. You can't push it backwards. It spun back and stopped. And he's on the phone. He goes, the ceiling fan just turned on, and now it stopped, and now it's going backwards. What the heck? And you're trying to logically think about what happened. And then the other thing that happened to me personally was the doorknob. My girlfriend at the time, Michelle, was sleeping over. I was sleeping on the floor very close to like the door right here. I was like right here. Mm-hmm. The bed's like right here. And we're not still sleeping in the same bed because I was like a, you know, 18-year-old kid or it's whatever. Okay. And my mom's like, no sleeping in the same bed leave the door open. So like I'd close the door when they fall asleep so we could like talk and kiss or whatever. But I was like, we were going to bed. So I was like on the floor in case my mom opened the door and then she'd find me. I had to play it safe and stay on the floor. So I'm on the floor. And then all of a sudden, I don't know if your dog's going to freak out if I touch the doorknob, but the doorknob does this. We're talking. All of a sudden, the doorknob goes like someone jiggling it, messing with me. And I was like,
man.
And I opened the door real quick. So I thought it was Seth, my brother, who was at his girlfriend's house, Sarah's at the time. Me and Michelle were the only two people in the house upstairs. My parents don't have a door on their room. They're downstairs. The door wasn't even a bedroom. Their room wasn't a bedroom. They made it to a bedroom. It was like an extra room off the kitchen. Whoa. So, and they didn't like having doors. They just like, my mom and dad always took the door off the room. I don't know why they did that. So they went, I can hear my parents both snoring from, I'm right above them now. My parents fall asleep at 8 p.m. They don't wake up and you can hear them snoring. The doorknob goes crazy, jiggles. I open the door to see Seth. And when you poke your head out there, you can see into the way his room was, mm-hmm. and I can see into the bathroom and then down the stairs.
Yeah.
It's like this small area right here. And I'm like, there's no one in this house. And if even if he ducked away, we would have heard him stepping and hiding because
I believe you, dude.
It's so creaky.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay. And maybe it was Trash Bag. Our cat's name was Trash Bag. Mm-hmm. And I was like, no, he wouldn't be able to reach or even grip it to turn it that fast. And then me and Michelle were talking about it. I was like, it must have been the ghost. And she's like, shut up. Don't say that. Don't say that. And I was like, I don't know. What jiggled the door that fast? It wasn't like it was just like settled and turned once. It jiggled. Mm-hmm. Like someone was messing with us. And we're like, okay, that's crazy. And then I start talking to the ghost, make myself feel more comfortable. I'll be like, oh, hey, what's going on? How you doing? Because, like, I'm nervous. She's like, what are you doing? Stop talking to the ghost. But and what I did say to her, I was like, oh, it's okay. You can come in or whatever. She's like, shut up. Don't say that. And then we hear this creaking, like a ring, ring, ring. I was like, what is going on? So I open the door again, and there's nothing there. So I step out, and I step over the threshold, like where the door is, like near the little board or whatever that goes over. And I stand there. And I turned back and I look at Michelle in the bed and I leaned to my right foot and it went ring. And I was like, oh, I did it. And then I leaned back like this. So then I start just going like this, rocking, and I'm replicating the exact creaks that we heard. So now I was thinking, oh my gosh, the ghost was standing here staring at us, just rocking like this.
Okay,
and I was like,
right.
This is so crazy. She's right, like, I'm
Nathan.
Going home
all
right now.
Right,
she was
Nathan,
so
Nathan.
Mad at me.
Okay.
But that's like the crazier thing that happened.
Yeah, I had a scary visual.
Dude,
let's. Can we? Can
apparently,
we,
apparently, there's a little boy in the house who played pranks on
boy.
Us.
Can we go back to your commercials?
Yeah, totally.
Sounds like
sorry.
You do.
I love ghosts.
You do. He is like a motor.
And
you
I
can
know,
talk
I,
a
I,
lot.
I talk a lot. And
you
I
can talk
so
for probably 2 hours.
Oh yeah.
All right. I'm just gonna ask you. Let's just go. Let's just slow it down again.
All right.
Breathe. Just breathe. Okay. How did you? So when did you decide to move to Los Angeles to pursue commercials?
I wanted to move when I was like 22, so I started looking at the cemetery, saving up, and I moved when I was 24.
Yeah.
It was August of like 2005 when I got here.
Okay, and then you moved by yourself?
It was me and my brother Seth, mm-hmm. and my two twin friends, Jared and Zach. So two sets of brothers moved out.
Yeah.
We lived
in
a bungalow, and it was awesome. We paid $375 each to live in this like guest house with pear tree, a swing outside
nice.
Our house. It was really great.
And then how did you get, were you just freelance? How'd you get rep? Yeah. How did you start going out for auditions out here?
I actually made a VHS tape of my videos I had made on my own, and I sent them to I got pulled over riding my BMX bike.
VHS tapes?
Yeah.
Oh.
This was in 2005. I sent a VHS tape, and that doesn't sound like that long ago, but like, that's what they were still using. It's like, oh, send me a tape. You could have sent a DVD, but most places it's easier than to put in a VCR at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have a cell phone or anything. It's like, wow, it feels like a long time ago. I've been here for a long time. I'm still doing this. Wow. It's kind of depressing. Mm-hmm. But I got nothing else I'd want to do. So I was riding my BMX bike. I worked at Urban Outfitters at the time. Or I was mayor somewhere else on the Promenade in Santa Monica.
Oh,
and
the one at the Promenade?
Yeah, I lived in Santa Monica and I just worked down there.
I tried to get a job there too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I didn't get hired.
Oh, dang. Well, that place was actually pretty lame.
Well, I did a group interview.
Yeah, I did that
there's
too.
Like 20 people there.
Uh-huh. I did the same thing,
but
I got through.
It.
I got through, yeah.
Oh, okay.
And I was going to work one day, and then I ended up quitting because they were like, you can't wear those shorts here. And it was like, is there like the, you remember, like, I don't know if you listen to like hardcore punk at all.
Yeah.
But everyone was wearing like gym shorts
at
the time.
No, I could dig it. Yeah,
Adidas
yeah.
And Sambas and stuff, you know? So I was wearing these gym shorts, but like they were short black. They were like clean.
Yeah.
And I wore a white t-shirt. That's what I like to wear every day. And they're like, you look like you just got out of the gym. And I was like, well, this girl right here, I remember having an argument with my manager. This girl's wearing tiny running shorts with like the stripe on the side. And I was like, she's wearing workout clothes too.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it okay? She's like, well, she's doing it fashionably. And I was like, this is Urban Outfitters.
Yeah.
Wear whatever the heck you want. This is like alternative store. And you're telling me I'm wearing like what punk hardcore kids wear.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, it's not really like fashionable.
Was there
to
an
us.
Active? Was the active
it was
there?
Lame. The active wasn't there at that time.
Oh, before the active.
It was before active, yeah. There was like four movie theaters on the Promenade at the time.
There
was before the new mall was put in.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was really, that was old school Santa Monica.
Yeah. So you worked there and then you were just putting together your reel, basically.
Yeah, so I got pulled over. I ran through a red light at midnight on my BMX. I can make a story long. As we know, I love to talk. So I got pulled over. A cop gave me a ticket for running a red light on Wilshire Boulevard. And I was like, there's no cars. I'm on a BMX going 1 mile an hour.
Yeah.
He's like, you're moving vehicles. Like, okay. So I couldn't pay the ticket. So I did community service. At this place called Highways Theater in Santa Monica. And there, the guy was like, you're really funny. You should have like an agent. I was like, yeah, I wish. And then he saw a video I put on YouTube. It was when YouTube first came out. My first viral hit was me on a pogo stick. It was an excerpt from a short film me and my brother shot in Massachusetts. And I loaded these pieces as little sketches.
So you loaded it on YouTube back
loaded
then?
On YouTube, and I got 370,000 views in 2005 or six or whatever the time year was at this point.
Yeah.
And I was like, that was astronomical back then, when it was literally like 10 videos on YouTube. So I was like crazy. I was like, holy crap. And then the guy was checking the views on the computer at the theater, and he goes, is that how many people have seen this? I was like, yeah, this is crazy. He goes, oh my God, I showed him the video, and he's like, he loved the video, and he's like, you need an agent. So I was like, I don't know who agents are.
Did he start repping you?
He's like, my friend's husband is an agent. You should send some stuff to him. So he gave me the guy's number. I called him. His name's Courtney. He's still my commercial agent to this day. I sent him a VHS, and I met with him. He goes, yep, you're really funny. You're hired. You're like, I'll hire you. So he's been I've been booking commercials with Courtney. I've done
Is
like,
he with the company?
It's Courtney. He's Hanlon Talent, his last name. It's a man named Courtney Hanlon and Hanlon Talent. I'm the first time I've ever talked about him publicly.
No, it's okay. Like, so shout out to him. I'm sure he doesn't care.
Courtney's the
him.
Best. He's awesome.
So
the only agent, I like had other theatrical agents, other managers and stuff. Yeah. I've always had Courtney because he knows, he sends me up for stuff that I book, and he knows what I'll work for. He knows me inside and out. So he's a really cool dude.
What are some of the first, can you explain, I have this written down. You explain what that process is like for going for a commercial?
You know, it's funny. I always wanted to tell, at some point, if I like booked sold a movie and sold a TV show, I wanted to have a night where anyone can come and ask me literally anything. How much you get paid, what you do, what forms you sign, who you have to talk to get an agent. Like, literally everything. People always answer, like, I see people talk about SNL. I'm going to get back to your question real quick. But I always, like, watch these people, like, oh, how'd you get SNL? You know, I went and I auditioned. Well, how'd you get that audition? Who did you physically talk to that said, you're funny, talk to this person? Who gave you your agent, and who did your agent talk to at SNL to then get you that audition? And I know all these people's names
now.
I was like, I know the casting of SNL. Let me ask you this. How it works, because you never get the real answers.
Yeah, let me ask you this. What was the very first national commercial you booked?
I don't remember the first national, but I know some of the earlier, bigger ones. I did a Honda commercial. Okay, no, Honda. I do know the first commercial I did in L.A. It was for USA.gov. It was a government commercial. I played the Scarecrow with, like, the Tin Man, and then, like, there was a girl playing Dorothy, and that girl in that commercial, that was in, like, 2006 or whatever. Mm-hmm. She's like, oh, I made $90,000 last year. I was like, what? She was like 7 years old. She's like, yeah, I did a commercial and they aired it a ton. And she was like, I don't get it yet, but I have $90,000 they gave me. I was like, and then my friend who gave me this, like, I was like,
were you BMXing at the time?
I was. I also rode a bicycle around LA for like 10 years, all the way to Pasadena from Santa Monica.
Auditions,
UCB
Theater.
How the
hell did you do that, dude?
I just was always on my bicycle.
That's why you're so fit.
Like, I'm always moving around, so I think it helps. But I don't ride my bike half as much as I want to or as I used to. I miss the days of being in Santa Monica, just going straight down Santa Monica Boulevard,
and then
all the way to Pasadena, turn around, come back, go to Hollywood for a show that night, go home. I get home at like 1 in the morning, and then I sleep super well.
So what's the most, I mean, like, what's, like, when did you start making that kind of money? Like,
I made a good amount of money 1 year when I was booking a lot of commercials. I did an IHOP commercial, and then I did an M&M's commercial, then I did a Honda commercial. And then the people started realizing, like, oh, he can do his own stunt. So I get stunt pay. I do my own stunt because it would be funnier. I get a bump. You get, like, I get paid as a stuntman and an actor because I just do my own stunts. Yeah. I just did on Friday a commercial for GameStop. And I did my own stunts. So it's like,
so you get more money.
Yeah. So you got double pay. So it's pretty good.
So you're in the union?
Yeah. I'm in SAG and AFTRA and all that stuff.
How many regional and national commercials do you think you've booked?
I don't know. Maybe 20 commercials, I guess. Yeah.
Explain.
I'm actually like kind of over commercials, like, then they come up. I'm like, I got to take the job.
It's a job.
Totally. But I just
want
to focus on TV.
What's a callback? Explain to the viewers what is a callback?
A callback is when, so you go to their first audition and it's just you and the camera guy who works for the casting agency, and then that tape is sent to the director and the client, which is like the brand, so like IHOP or whoever, and they'll be like, we like this guy, these people, and then the director's like, oh, I like these people, so they'll pick their favorites, and sometimes hopefully it's only like their five favorites that's happened, but there's been like just three up to three people, and you can see like the similarities of like other weird bald guy or
in
like
the waiting
other
room.
So it's like everyone has like a similar, or there'll be like a bunch of wild cards, you don't know who they're gonna pick because no one's agreeing,
or they might bypass the other rounds. Because I was up
that
first,
happens where you'll be first to call back.
No,
call people.
I did a Sour Starburst one.
Oh, what commercial was it?
Where I'm in a Chinese restaurant, and then there's a they go, hey, Jimmy, come look at the baby. And so I had to hit my mark and put the Sour Starburst in my mouth. And by the time I got to the baby, I go, you know, I make the face.
Yeah.
But I had to go through five. I had to go through different, like, every time I showed a different
and
Asian
kid.
They want
to look at your hands. They want to look at hair, everything.
But
they, yeah.
But the last callback, another Asian guy that.
A rogue actor.
A rogue kid with his rich mom, because I knew he had money because his mom had, like, a Gucci bag.
Uh-huh.
But, and I didn't see him in the other auditions.
They do that. I
so
did that once.
So I was
once.
Pissed off when I saw him.
Yeah.
They're feeding us lemons outside the Vista.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, I got to beat this kid out. And so
and you
I
did it.
But you know why? You know how petty it, you know the reason why they chose me?
Why?
Because my hair looked more like Bruce Lee's.
It's like, it's so stupid, the reasons. That, you know, I booked commercials, and then so, the day I'm going to the commercial, they say, oh, actually, we're not, we've changed it. The client, the agency actually wants to use this other person. But you're still getting paid. This happened twice now, where they still, because they booked you, so they're indebted to pay you.
Yeah.
So you get the day rate of acting,
yeah,
but
which
you're
is,
not going to be in the commercial.
Which you get the main money
it's
on
like,
the
It's like, I get
residual.
Like $1,000 a day, and yeah. The big money is when it plays and airs a lot.
What's
so, yeah.
The favorite, what's the one of the, your favorites that you've done?
I'm trying to think of like a good commercial that was like really cool and like elaborate. Mm-hmm. The Honda one was pretty cool because mm-hmm. I was on wires and they like pulled me up in the air and stuff. I did one for the Michigan Lottery, which was really cool. And mm-hmm. I flew first class out there. I actually like woke up late
oh,
and missed
great.
The flight. And then Courtney was like, where are you? I was like, oh my God, I forgot. I'm so yeah. sorry. So then they moved the flight and they gave me another second first class flight. I was like, I kind of wasted their money. But like they flew me in. It's great when you get to fly somewhere.
Mm-hmm. I've never done that. That's,
you know, it's
that's great.
This one, I'm yeah. hoping that the Adult Swim one yeah. in October, guys, come on. I'd fly to New York and I'd
oh
be like, it's
God.
Like with a celebrity and stuff. Mm-hmm. So that would be cool.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe a cool one I did was with another one for Adult Swim. Well, the Michigan Lottery, I was going to say it was cool because they had me dropping on a wire and I was like dropping over a diamond and then I had to like grab this diamond and then like
oh.
I'd get tangled up or something like that. That was fun. And like it's just nice when you get, you feel special when they like mm. fly you places. The one I did a thing with Steve Carell for Burt Wonderstone.
The actor?
Yeah. And
what?
That was really, and my mom got to come and stuff
wow.
because my mom was visiting at the time. And then my girlfriend at the time, who also worked for Adult Swim but wasn't involved with this shoot. She came with her moms. It was like we had this whole thing called Mom Fest where I made shirts for all the moms.
Oh,
it was
that's
Mom
so
Fest.
Nice of you. Yeah,
and
yeah,
the moms
yeah.
got to come. And Steve Carell's from Massachusetts. So me and my mom and him were talking about Massachusetts.
So you guys
and
broke
stuff.
Down?
Yeah. Steve
oh,
Carell's
wow.
genuinely one of the coolest people I've ever talked
wow.
to. He was like a famous person, you know.
So you've
He's
come
just
a long
cool
way
off
since Massachusetts.
Yeah,
there.
It's kind of nice
when
to
you
think
say,
of
when
like
you
getting
say
beaten
if
up.
I mean,
and now I'm like living my life.
Yeah, reflecting back on your experiences.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm happy that everything I went through happened and I got picked on because I think if I hadn't, so anyway, I need to thank all those ignorant fools.
Oh, because it
because
it, fired
it
you
made
up.
Me want to just be really be myself
yeah.
because like I never wanted to be like the kids that didn't like other people.
Mm-hmm.
I always wanted to be more accepting of other people. Seeing how lame they were and unhappy they were and mean they were and mean-spirited they were made me want to like everyone even more. And I think as I've in turn been more open-minded to people, so it's
yeah,
kind of
yeah,
pushing
yeah.
me in the opposite direction of them. Mm-hmm. And I also never drank because of those kids. I drank in the woods and
I don't
drugs.
Either dude
you know
yeah yeah
nice.
Yeah,
yeah.
Clean.
I just
yeah
I was straight edge in a punk band
yeah,
in high school
yeah,
now
yeah.
I don't say it anymore. I just don't do it because mm-hmm. I don't need it, but it's always, it kind of pushed me in a direction. I was like, I don't want to be anything like those people.
Mm-hmm.
I want to just be myself and continue being do what I do, and now it's paying off and people are like looking at me.
I
so.
Mean look at your life. I mean you're getting a lot of things done, right?
It's cool.
Aren't you writing?
I'm never where I want to be. No one ever is, I'm sure. But, like, you know, I'm still
But haven't you sold your
it.
Show to... What's the process of, like, writing and selling shows to major networks such as Nickelodeon and Viceland? I read that
oh,
somewhere.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We just
so you mess with Viceland,
thing.
Too?
Yeah,
or?
We just shot a pilot for Viceland with my brother. It's actually about my brother, Seth, because he's, like, an interesting guy.
Mm-hmm.
But, with me and my friend Paul, like, produced it with Seth and kind of, like, helped him shape it. But Seth just was, it's all his thing. It's his idea. He directed it. He was in it. But it was because of other shows we've made together that,
wow.
like, that came about. And,
yeah.
you know,
I like
so.
Viceland, man.
Viceland's cool. They're doing
cool
stuff.
They got
cool
some
stuff.
Cool shows,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, yeah. That didn't, his show didn't go to air,
mm-hmm.
but now we're talking to other networks about it because we still have this physical pilot. Andrew WK was in it. He was, like,
oh,
the special
wow.
guest. And Andrew was a guy who I just did a video with back at Maker. I was shooting some videos for my Keith character,
mm-hmm.
and he came and he was like, "Yeah, dude, I know you're real." He knew of me, and I was like, "Oh, this is
wow.
freaking great, Andrew WK."
That's how you met these fools?
It's crazy. Yeah, I meet these guys at Maker when I was like shooting videos over there all the time in the studio.
Explain to them what Maker. I mean, because
well,
people
don't know Maker is. Even like you know people who are on YouTube now, because Maker was like a huge. What was Maker? It was like a network.
It was an MCN, but it was like the biggest MCN.
But
like,
what is an? I always try to explain what an MCN is. I was just
what's
saying
an
it's
MCN?
Like they're the company that helps
what
you
is that, what's
make
that acronym?
Stuff.
What is it?
Sort yeah. of.
Everyone's voice. They just take money.
They take a percent of your money, but in turn, they'll promote and produce.
Multi-channel network. So like they,
multi-channel network.
Yes, that's what it is. So they sign a bunch of channels.
And then you got along with them once you met
them. And I got into Maker because of Kasim G, who like liked my videos. Yeah, and he's like, you should be join Maker. And I was like, what does that mean?
Yeah.
And I
so
went.
So when did you join Maker?
When was that? Like 2011 or 12?
You've done a lot.
10?
Yeah.
Yeah. I just am always constantly shooting things. I shoot literally every idea I have. Some will be crappy, some will be good. Yeah, I still put stuff. I uploaded a video last week, Friday, I think. Yeah. Did you see the pizza video? That was my most recent video. Oh, I should mention this. I haven't mentioned it.
No,
the
we watched it
too. Biggest and best thing I've ever made in my life.
Wait, what's
is
your
a short
channel
film.
For the viewers so they know where to go?
It's just my name, Nathan Barnett. If you search
Nathan Barnett.
Barn, and then
YouTube.com/Nathan Barnett.
Yeah.
Continue.
Nathan J. Barnett is
how
the
URL.
How
many videos you got on there?
530 something, I guess, or whatever. But there are technically more, but a bunch I'd be taking down for like music strikes. This is back old ones before like music was not a thing, you know?
Yeah.
So maybe it's closer to like, you know, reaching 600 maybe. Jeez. No, not that many we're taking down. Yeah. 550, we'll say. It's quite safe. Yeah, I just shoot literally everything. And the thing I love the most that I made recently was a short film called Neutral. And I put everything I had into this. And it was a crowd-funded thing. So everyone who watches the videos paid for it. Yeah, then I got...
It's on your channel.
It's on my channel now.
It's a feature? Is it short?
It's a 22-minute short film.
What's it about?
So it's a longer short film, but it's still short. It's this guy who's a bounty hunter, which is me, and he's taking this unlikely criminal to jail. And it's like this like sweet, nice-looking young lady. Mm-hmm. It's my friend Phoebe Neidhart, a really great actor.
Shout out to Phoebe.
Phoebe's awesome. Yeah, shout out to Phoebe. Met up with her today because I have two more parts that I'm going to shoot that I wrote. So this is the first chapter, and I'm going to take all three chapters, which will be like 20 to 30 minutes long, and put them together, and then it'll make a feature in the end.
Good for you, man.
So yeah, I'm working on like trying to get that. The funding for the next two, and I don't want to do like another crowdfunding thing because it's like a real hassle, and I feel guilty asking people for money.
Yeah, but if they support what you're doing, and,
I'm sure I could get some money, but like I need more for the next. Well, the next one's like I could probably need a similar budget. Last one cost $50,000.
Wait, how much?
50K?
Yeah,
and that's honestly when you think about it, it's pretty cheap. And people who don't know will be like, that's not cheap. It's I know it's a huge amount of money.
You raised 50K?
I raised 30,000, and then I sold everything I owned, and I got 20,000 more, and I have nothing left to sell now. So I don't know how I could make the. Since I got 30 last time, I'm assuming I'd get less this time because not everyone's going to donate again, unless everyone loved Neutral so much they're like, oh, I'll give you more money. Right. Maybe that could happen. I just don't see it being likely. And
who
I don't
edited
have anything else to sell.
It? And who filmed it?
I edited it. I wrote it. I was in it and did the stunts.
You edited it.
Yeah.
You,
and I don't like being like, oh, I did all that stuff.
Yeah,
I
but did you
I
cast
just kinda
it?
Had
did
to, you
cast you
know?
It?
Yeah, there's two other girls in it, Katie and Phoebe. They're my friends.
Wow.
They're like really good actors. So Katie Malia and Phoebe Neidhart were the two in it. And the next part will have many more people in it.
Wow.
I don't want to say too much about it, but it's like a bigger thing.
Yeah,
and then the third
yeah.
part is like really cool.
Wow,
I don't
want to
say
so
anything about
cool.
it. But yeah, a meeting with Phoebe today to talk about because I wrote the two other parts. And now I'm like, oh, I kind of have this like whole other idea for the third part. So that third part I originally wrote is now become its own short film I'll just do as a separate thing, and this new idea will be part three. And
why
it's
not
way
just
more
do
satisfying.
A full length or...
Well, then I'm going to take those three chapters and I'll edit them together, and it'll be like an hour 20. It'll be a shorter side of a feature film. It won't be
I
like
think
a full
you're on
hour
your way.
I'm just gonna I just think you're making stuff all crazy. That's pretty much all it is,
because I noticed too with you you always need to be working on something.
Yeah, I have a lot of ideas, and I just feel like I have a camera. I'll just keep shooting them.
Yeah.
So
have you always been like that?
Yeah, pretty much. I just I just have to do stuff, and literally nothing was on me. If I have a car, if I'm homeless, I actually considered me and my brother were like, well, maybe we can move into a van because we want to pay rent because I paid $1,500 for rent, and that's like $1,500 times 12. I was a ton of money I could put into a short film. I was moving into a house or apartment later,
or a micro home
done.
Or something. Or?
That I was. I talk about that, but like. That's kind of expensive to get
to get
that home. So my brother lived in a van for a year and a half.
How do you
just
for
an experiment?
For
he's like, I just want to live in a van for a while and see how much money I can save. And he did it, and
how
then
much
he went
save?
Over the year. Whatever our rent at the time was like $800 each a month. So that times like a whatever 16. Look, can anyone do 800 times 16? That's what he saved. And he also,
I'm
like,
bad at math, you know.
It was like a real experiment, but we also had an apartment he could come in and hang out sometimes. But like, we're talking about like both of us just getting two vans and parking next to each other. That's my last ditch effort because I have to make these other parts.
Bryce,
so I'll just
Bryce
do that.
Bryce is
if I do.
Really digging, like, you. This
it's,
idea.
I mean,
that
it's
you're
not
saying.
The worst idea as long as I'm literally alive,
Bryce
eating and breathing.
When he first moved to LA.
It's not.
He lived in a trailer,
cool.
man.
That's cool.
Where would
like
you
that.
Shower, man?
There's tons of free showers.
Oh, 24 at a gym.
You can go to a gym. You can go to Venice Beach. You know, whatever. Yeah, like, I just pour a bucket over my head. Mm-hmm. There I go. I did it. It's not like I could. If you have the mentality where you're like, okay with it, and it's nothing's really bad, and you know, I'll get myself out of it later. This is just temporary. Mm-hmm. If it's voluntary, then I don't think it's as, if it's like you were kind of forced out of your place, this could be more traumatic. I understand, you know, and you don't want that. Then yeah, that's sad and scary and depressing. But if you're like, doing it for a reason, that's like, who cares? I will do anything to make
Let
these stories.
Yeah.
We should all get vans. Yeah. Like, and it's pretty hard right now.
You
it's
can
like
actually
hard to
make a, do like a little makeshift home in a van. I've seen it online.
It well, don't
really
they, well.
They've taken school buses and transformed them into homes
and honestly,
everything.
Honestly, I love it. I had a fort in many of my apartments I've had. I built like literally a drawbridge would lower and I'd crawl out of this fort that I built in my room and that's where I slept. So I'm like, I like being in closed places. So sleeping in a van would be really cool.
You could sleep in a storage space. People.
Did you see
it.
That guy? The guy on YouTube?
Yeah,
who had like
on
his
YouTube.
PlayStation hooked up, he had like his Wi-Fi running down the hall, and he hit it.
Yeah, there's this guy on YouTube where he's living out of his storage unit.
You should search that.
And
it's
dude,
really
he's
cool.
got hit like an elevated bed.
Yeah,
he's got
like,
his own pantry.
His TV like open.
He's
it's
got his.
Awesome.
He's got his kitchen.
And that
he's got
makes
Christmas
me want
lights.
To do that. When I see that.
I'm
like, oh, I could do that. That's so logical.
So, I mean, it's doable.
Totally.
Yeah.
I honestly think because I wear the same outfit every single day. Anyways, it's like. I could, right now I've been taking, I built an outside shower, which is basically just, I built a platform and then I took this bamboo wall that I made and I put it around and then I just took the hose and put it over the house.
Yeah.
Me and my brother are renting this house right now and the hose heats up during the day in the sun. So the water that comes out of the hose, and I have a little nozzle that I put up there in the wall. It dumps hot water, but then after a couple minutes, it starts getting cold.
Yeah.
But now I've started to ignore the cold. And I saw a crazy shooting star last night in the middle of this, with the shower.
Wow.
And I try to make a point. It's like, oh, when I'm taking the shower, look up. Cause that's like half the fun. It's like, ooh, it's stars. I'm taking again. This is a crazy experience. I've been taking a shower in my house in 3 months now. But
so you just go outside.
I go outside and I'm standing there showering outside and it's cold. But then I forget about how cold it is and my body temperature changes. And now I just enjoy it and I look forward to
good
it. I'm going to do
you,
it after
man.
This when I go home. But yeah, so I was thinking, well,
you could probably survive out in the woods
I know
if you wanted.
I could.
You could.
I was like, well, I'd shower in a hose anyways. I wear the same clothes. I
You're
sleep
doing well
under
in life.
My bed on a couch instead of being. I put like a couch under my high raised bed, so I'm like I could sleep on anything. I could sleep on a bunch of clothes if I needed to.
Dude, you're and then your life. I mean. Like the
and
way
I mean,
you were.
It's not like I'm cool. I could do whatever.
No, but
I just I would do it to get things made. Is the reason I would if I had.
Yeah,
if I had.
And
to.
The thing is, like a lot of the stuff. I don't know. I think sobriety has a lot to do with it too, because it's like you're not like you know being sedated. You
oh
have,
yeah, I know.
Well,
you have that, like,
well, you have so much stuff you want to get done.
Yeah, I would honestly wouldn't have time to go drink or do like naughty boy stuff.
So what is in the future for you? Like, what are your more of your aspirations? Is the next thing just a full feature, directing it, or
I don't really want to direct. That's not
something.
I'm going to direct the other ones just to get a feature done. Like, oh, there, it's something I made thoroughly all the way through. But I want to do the other two parts in Neutral. I have a short I want to shoot in Massachusetts called Milford. It's about this guy who lives in my hometown. It's a totally different type of movie. Be more in lines of like an A24 sort of movie, like a real realistic slice of life.
Yeah,
it's sort of inspired by the Florida Project in a way. But like it'd be a more comedic one. So it's unlike anything I've ever done, but like it would be a character that looks nice. I went and bought this hair piece down in Orange County that like glues on and doesn't come off for a month. So I would like really change completely into this character. That is something I'm really looking forward to. I want to do that this winter, but just, I want to shoot more short films and less just like YouTube viral clips. Cause it's fun and all, but like I've learned that you just get addicted to the clicks and the hits and then you just are in the same cycle and you don't go beyond and you just live in this like perpetual cycle of like, what's the next video I can do? And you're not, for me, I mean, it's fine. It's cool. I like making videos and I'll always make short videos. But the longer I do that, the less I do the big main dream. I first moved out here to be like Jim Carrey and like do movies and TV. And I'm like, I'm not doing that.
I'm a fan of his. I love Jim Carrey.
I'm a big fan of Jim Carrey. He's awesome. He's like he's super woke now.
And he does painting. He kind of does everything.
He's like a Renaissance man. Yeah. But yeah, the dream is still the same. I'm working on these TV shows. The one that we're doing right now, my fingers are crossed that it's going to become a thing with this one network. And then just shooting more short films to like, make better stories and do some better acting, I guess.
Cool, cool.
But all along, I'll still be flopping around on the internet. Yeah.
So how we doing on the time?
Great.
We got an hour?
Nice. I talked so much.
I feel bad. We got an hour. I'm like, yeah, I think we got an hour. Probably more than an hour.
I keep going, too.
It was like, man, you really can talk it up.
I know. I warn everyone, which is
a good thing because you could jump from one, boom, boom. You could just jump everywhere.
Like and I was like, I was thinking, I was like, I'm going to make this a conversation because every time I go on these people's shows, the nature of it is you ask a question, the person answers. But I was like, I want to have like a conversation, like talk about you.
Did I cut you off a lot? I didn't mean to cut you off.
And if you didn't, I wish you did.
I didn't cut him off a lot. I mean, maybe once or twice.
I'm glad. You know what I did notice?
I'm not cutting you off.
But you know what I did notice about me? And it's like, I got to learn to just stop doing this. Like, you start saying that you have a thought in your head and you're talking.
Yeah.
But you would say something, you ask me a question, and then I would keep talking to like, okay, I can get the rest of the sentence out when he's done. And I should just stop.
Right.
Like, someone's talking.
It's okay. Like, hey, there's no rules.
Everyone's always
analyzing everything they say in their head. Hey, this is your episode.
Yeah, it's your show.
Hey, so now's the time where anything, I want you to plug in all your socials and your projects and where they can get.
Where to find Neutral as soon as they're done.
Yeah. So right what's your Instagram?
Just my name, Nathan Barnett.
What, two T's, right?
Barn and then A-T-T.
Barn ATT. Okay, and then your Facebook?
I don't have Facebook anymore.
Okay, and then
there is a Facebook page, but I just haven't checked it in ages. YouTube is Nathan J. Barnett. But if you search Nathan Dance is what I tell people, even though I don't claim to be a dancer, and dancing is like the side thing that I don't love to talk about.
You're having fun.
But that's an easy way to find my channel is because the dance videos are pretty popular. But if you can search Neutral Nathan, you'll find me.
Okay.
Because and then you'll find Neutral, and then you can go to my channel from there. Oh, yeah. But everything I do on my channel is so all over the map.
It's okay.
I like to say I do characters, so you can compare me in a way. This is like maybe a brag, but it's like Sacha Baron Cohen and Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
It's similar to what I do, characters and physical comedy. But Neutral is more dramatic, so don't expect it to be a hard comedy. It's humorous, but there's some cool visuals. There's some stunts in there, and I almost died twice, so that's kind of cool. Dang. I guess you can look for
those
moments.
So you're committed to your craft, man.
Oh, I will do it. Literally anything it takes to get a shot. I've been handcuffed by the police, from the TSA. You name it, I'll do it, whatever, to get a bit.
I love it, dude. Hey, man. More power to you. I'm proud of you.
Thank you for having me.
Keep doing your thing.
Thank you for the greatest sparkling
shout
water
out to Arrowhead Water again.
This is great.
This is the time I got to do shout outs for the show. Shout out to the new Patreons, Nicholas Martinez, David Whale, and Matthew Broadbent. Okay.
I think I say Matthew Broderick.
Broadbent.
He's a fan.
No, Broadbent.
He's going to be the new Matthew
Broderick.
My man,
Broadbent. If you want to become a pledge, join us at patreon.com/StevieWeeby and become a patron. Okay. We could use the support. You'll get the inside scoop on the guests before they even come on. You'll get rare music that I won't put anywhere else. You'll get all the Lil Ray songs. You'll get art, etc. Shout out to the... Okay, so this person, I do music and stuff too. On my Bandcamp.
You play piano. I wish I could play piano.
I don't really know how to play. I just kind of act like
it. It was pretty good.
Thank you. I just have fun. But on my Bandcamp, shout out to BB Face. She bought all 12 of my albums on my Bandcamp. So I really like that a lot. So if there's other people like that that are willing to do that some amount of just saying, hey, I'm just going to support and buy all the albums, that brings joy to my heart.
That's cool.
I'm still working on my new. LP, which is going to be called Collage of the Mirage. You could find that at stevieweebybandcamp.com.
That's a good name.
My Instagram is @Instagram/QUANGOU. Make sure to follow my girl's Instagram, Two Bunnies, 2BUNNIEZ, the number 2. She does the animation at the end. And with that being said, Thanks for having me. I mean, thanks for...
Thanks, my pleasure.
Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, man.
Thanks for coming on.
This has been great.
And now it's time for Lil Ray's World. Wow.
Welcome to Lil Ray's World Show. All I gotta say is kids' minds must grow. I got abducted by some aliens dropped in snow. Whoa. Stuck into a world that I do not know. So join me in adventures now. And I promise not to have a cow. My name is Little Ray. Hey, hey. My name is Little Ray. Hey, hey, hey. So welcome to my world. To all the boys and girls.
Ray's World. Yeehaw! What the hell is that sound, man? Sounds like a goddamn cricket. Hey, man, where are you? I still can't see you, man. Are you still there? So what's your story, man? How'd you end up a cricket? I can't see you, Beep. Do you see him? Well, your name, if I heard it correctly, is Ricket. And you're a cricket now, but you don't even know how you became a cricket. Is that right? Well, I hope you stop making them noises. Me and Beep wrote a song about you. It goes like this, man.
This one's about Ricket the Cricket, kid, so listen up. It's Ricket the Cricket, here I lived it. To sip it, how to quit it. You get it, Wilson Pickett. I dig it, man, a cricket. Can't find it, but I hear it. Reminded of my hometown and Brian on my front porch. Delighted, miss the place I resided.
Next week for another episode of Little Ray's World, man. Let's get her done.
And check out Neutral on Nathan Barnett's channel. Ba-boom.